Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, one more about the Dolans and diabolical question time. Matt in Strongsville, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Matt.
The previous caller, Jim, prompted me to call in about his faith in the Dolans being a Clevelander and whatnot. I have a little bit of a different perspective.
Okay.
In 25 years of their ownership, we've heard them complain about financial woes. Yet the valuation of their organization has gone up exponentially. The only time they've ever really spent money is when they had an investor who, by the way, now is an owner of a team in our division. How do you believe in somebody like that? Any other business out there that ownership is complaining about financial problems, they're no longer in business. They sell, they get out. If it's that hard for them, they should cash in their chips and go off into the sunset. He boasts about being a fifth-generation Clevelander and going to Municipal Stadium and blah, blah, blah. They changed the name, all that stuff. How, after 25 years, can you believe in ownership? I believe in the front office. For the last 35 years, they're one of, if not the best front offices in baseball. This is probably, what, the second time they've lost 10 games in 30 years?
Well, I think, Matt, that's the only thing that Jim and Concord can say. I remember some years ago that there was a conversation like, well, when this lease is up with Progressive Field, who knows what could possibly happen? And you knew that because Paul Dolan was the owner, that they weren't going to go anywhere. So he secured, because of the sin tax, you basically had to secure, but he secured the revamping of the stadium, then the revamping again of the stadium, and then the lease long-term with the stadium. Well, now it seems that, hey, your work here is done. And what people still want to see has been a good, they still want to see a good product out there in the field. And you've given them just enough to be mad at you. People here still care. They, according to these phone calls, according to your call, Matt, like, you still care. People here still care. They do not care in other cities our size. And I think he would be a tremendous owner in a cap sport. But in a sport where there are haves and have-nots and there are different neighborhoods and we ain't in the gated one, there's going to be a problem there because nobody wants to hear about their real-life problems when it comes to their fantasy baseball teams. If you can't afford it, just sell it.
Right. And if you look at, and I did do this once, the net worth of Major League Baseball owners, I believe he's in the top third or at least the top half. A private equity group funded the remodeling of Progressive Field.
Well, his,
so if you're securing funding from a private equity group to take seats out of the stadium, why are we not putting money into the roster?
His personal worth, and Matt, thank you very much for the call. I know that because they always count, like Forbes counts the Dolan Family Trust, which includes his cousin James, who also owns the Knicks, as well as multiple other Dolans out there. As a family, they are worth $4.6 billion. That is not his personal worth. I don't know how they divvy that up among the children. I have no idea how that is all done. His personal worth is less than that. Now, because of the team that him and his late father own, or his late father owned, the team that he owns, when he does sell the team and divest everything, then yes, his personal valuation will go up considerably for he and his family, his children, and things like that. I don't know if his status, I'm not really sure. I don't pay that close of attention to Paul Dolan's personal life. But his personal valuation will go up considerably, but I don't think anybody will care at that point. We'll be worried about the moves that David Blitzer makes with this team. All right, diabolical question time. Go ahead. What is it?
So, more of a diabolical theory, but I'd like to know whether you think this is something that truly exists in some capacity.
All right.
So we're having fun with the LeBron stuff over the weekend. I had some tweets regarding that. The streets were talking. It seemed like LeBron was doing everything he could, just at the very least, to get the messaging out that he's home. He's working out in the Cavs facility.
Well, he always works out the Cavs
facility. That's what he says. Yeah, that's what he says. We'd never seen any pictures of that before, but he was proudly displaying that over the weekend. He was, you know, golfing at a local country club there, probably the one that I would imagine is closest to where he stays. over there near Bath Township.
I'm not that familiar with the geography, but yeah, fine.
Yeah, so all of this was going on. Then you had Brian Windhorst and others around the league starting to talk about whether LeBron even wants to be in Los Angeles. And then there was a report that the Lakers, whether they even want to be in business with LeBron. It's the first time that we have ever seen LeBron be in a situation where he doesn't control the cards. He doesn't have the leverage that LeBron is used to having. So we're having fun with that over the weekend. And I got to tell you, the amount of responses of wouldn't take him for free, meaning because we're starting to see scenarios where maybe there would be a buyout. Maybe he would just be available in the offseason for the veteran minimum, whatever. Yeah, we're getting pie in the sky, whatever. But okay, it's a fun conversation to have. And everybody I know was talking about whether LeBron would be back. And yet lots were in my mentions saying, not only do we not want him, I wouldn't take him for free. And that was so odd to me. Like, people, I've tried to tell people, maybe you just weren't watching the Lakers last year. LeBron was a top 10 player in the league. He was all NBA second team, and that wasn't a final season tribute award. So I put all that together, and I got to say, I think there are people who would rather run it back with this core and not win a title, but at least take the chance of continuing to run it back rather than have a chance at a championship with LeBron, because they don't want this city linked to LeBron any more than we already are after 2016. I am telling you that I think people would rather not even take the chance. They hate that guy. Again, vocal minority, obviously. LeBron is beloved in a lot of parts of Northeast Ohio for what he did and what he's done for this franchise.
That's what throws it off from it. You know what? I can't say it's as diabolical as you make it out to be. Because if you're saying that it's a vocal minority,
but very vocal.
Okay, I mean, but if it's a vast vocal minority, if somebody in the alley over here is ranting and raving about God knows what, I'm going to hear one person raving.
It is, I bet if you opened up the lines right now, we would get flooded with people that said, rather have a chance to try to win it without him. As opposed to, hey, we have a team that everybody thinks has limitations mentally and physically. Their own GM has said it. Their own coach has said it. Their own players have said it. And yet LeBron, who's been to the top of the sport, is going to go down in history as either the best or the second best player to ever do it. He's one of the most famous people, not athletes, most famous people in the world. He is a self-made billionaire when all is said and done. Has a chance to own an NBA franchise coming.
Well, they don't care about that.
Coming from the Spring Hill Apartments.
Unless he owns his team.
He's been able to do all of that. And yet, there are people who hate his guts. Here in Northeast Ohio, nobody should hate his guts.
All right, you have to guarantee,
though.
Zero people
should hate LeBron James's guts. But yet, I'm getting flooded with them.
To make it truly diabolical, you can't leave a chance. You have to say no winning. They don't win a championship without LeBron. That's what makes it a diabolical question. Because if you leave an open, like I was willing to tell you over the last 2 years now, it's changed considerably now. I had to flip-flop after the Pacers series. I go, no, they don't have whatever's missing is missing. And I think that, yeah, if he's available and they can swing it, yeah. Because I only think that they only have two more years left. But up until now, up until this last year or this last postseason run, which wasn't a run, I would have said, no, why do we need to have this conversation again? Why do we need to do this again with LeBron? Why do we have great memories with LeBron the first time. Why do I have to try to run it back and have a trifecta of this, even though it would only be a sequel if they won? Why do I need to do that? So you have to say absolutely not winning, that they would rather lose with team, lose an NBA Finals
whatever
with this team.
Whatever juices it up, whatever,
okay.
Fine.
Okay, that's the only way you're going to get the true haters out. But that's the only way you're going to
get the same people that don't want anything to do with him. They think because he left us two times that he's like the worst person in the world.
Yeah, but like,
then of course they throw in the politics. Like, I don't care.
Well, I know you don't care about that. Neither do I.
I'll take a guy that believes in the complete opposite of my whole ideology. If it helps us win a championship, I don't care. I don't care. And I think you're a loser if you care about that to that extent, that you've been brainwashed by whatever, you know, cable news network that you bow down to every night.
Now we're getting strong.
Whatever. I don't care. I just want guys that can help us win. And like, if you're telling me whether or not I'd like my chances more in this all-time bad Eastern Conference next year, that people just want to run it back because they know it's an easy conference. So they think that'll prove the whole thing correct. Even though you and I both know you'll be massive underdogs in the championship against an Oklahoma City team or whoever comes out of the West. Fine. But you know for a fact they are a better team with LeBron James than without him next year.
Well, yeah, you're not getting a fight out of me. Like,
they're
more mentally tough.
They're more physically tough. They're more athletic. Believe it or not, LeBron at 41 next year is going to be way more athletic than just about anything you have.
He'll be 40 through half the year or part of the year.
Yeah. He's still going to be more athletic than anybody that you have, right?
Yes.
Who's a better athlete right now on the Cavs than LeBron James? And by the way, he is also the second most durable guy in this conversation. The only Cav that's been more durable than him is Jared Allen over the last 2 years.
And you're willing to give him up for LeBron James?
Yeah, but why not? In this scenario, I said wouldn't have to. Well, okay. You just get him.
Because I think you'll get, like, again, up until this last playoff run, I would have said, why do we have to have this LeBron conversation again? When are we ever going to get out from underneath the shadow? And I think that's a lot to do with why I was upset with how they lost and how upset I was that they lost, is that you knew this conversation was going to happen again and that you knew we'd be back under the rain cloud or whatever cloud that was going to be of LeBron James, because it's a conversation that never stops. He will not allow it to stop. He likes attention. He likes people paying attention to him and seeing whether or not that he can get people talking about him again. I, as a person who likes attention, I can tell you that that's why he does these things.
Okay, there is a faction of Clevelanders that used to call themselves, or maybe they still do, big sports fans that hate the fact that he is now synonymous, Cleveland sports and LeBron James synonymous. If you ask anybody around the country, what do you think of when you think of Cleveland sports? Do you think they're saying the 3-14 Browns? They're saying LeBron. LeBron brought this city a championship.
Yes,
nobody else has. And yet those people would sit there and say, I don't want him.
Yeah, I know.
That's
they
incredible
would,
to me.
Because they already got their championship.
That's absolutely incredible to me.
And you also have the people who are like a guy like Jeff Phelps. Jeff Phelps is a nurturer. He loves watching young teams build and blossom to even get to like the second round. He loves that sort of thing. At least that's the way he sounds on the air. So if you say there's a possibility of winning a championship without LeBron, they'll call in and say they'd rather have the chance to roll the dice and win the championship without LeBron. If you're leaving me the possibility, I would love to be able to prove for my own good. Let me tell you this. For my own personal sanity, I would love for a Cavs team to prove with a championship that you could win one without LeBron. Because then for the rest of my life, if I live until I'm 41, if I live until I'm 93, for the rest of my life, I will think there's a possibility without LeBron. Because right after he left in 2018, I go, I don't know how I'm going to speak about this team for the rest of my life because I don't think that there's a chance. And now with the new CBA rules, there seems to be a chance. If they did it without him, I go, okay, there's definitely a chance because it's been proven to me right in front of my eyes that they can do this thing without LeBron in a city like Cleveland. And if it stays the same way it is, maybe there will be another generation of players. So if you're leaving me a possibility to roll the dice, I might actually roll the dice with anybody else. But if you're saying no championship without LeBron, championship with LeBron, obviously you're going to take guys like you and me, and I would assume Owen and I would assume Meredith, they're going to take the championship with LeBron.
Well, then I would also ask, like, let's say the Knicks have been mentioned as another team, right? That maybe they would make a big trade given the players and a contract that they have. That are still really good, that they could make a trade for LeBron. Do you think you got a better shot, the Cavs with LeBron or the Cavs without LeBron, and say a team like the Knicks with LeBron? And you have to go through them. I mean, we already saw what happened in a slugfest type series against the Knicks a couple of years ago. And I don't know, have we evolved all that much since then? We have a new coach, but it looked the exact same as last year.
Yeah.
And then you were to add LeBron to that Knicks team. Yeah, I'd pick the Knicks.
Yes, you would.
Maybe our fans wouldn't, but...
Oh, come on. Yes, you would.
I don't know.
Any team in the East that added LeBron, yes, you would. Including the Cavaliers. That's why I want the Cavaliers to add him. All right, coming up in 5 minutes. Was it cool or was it really sad? That's at 9:42 on The Fan.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The amount of people that didn't quite understand first off, how good LeBron still is.
Yeah.
And second off, how great he would be in a Cavs uniform still was a little surprising to me.
Oh, that's interesting. I was not surprised by the pushback. And I'm just going to do that like I do the show.
That was
thing.
Fun, though. Yeah, that was fun.
Because I think, one, I think there are a vast number of reasons that people don't like LeBron. I also think we just have, I think there's LeBron fatigue.
No, but that's the part of this job that becomes a little, myself, I get a little fatigued with, or at least becomes a little frustrating. I love this job. You love this job. We all know that. But like the idea that then you have to explain to people and then not seem like they understand it completely. Obviously, there was like 90% of people that got it, but there was that other 10%, that loud 10%. That just, it was not for basketball reasons. It was for other things that was just LeBron's a non-starter. And then it was me trying to explain or trying to get my point across that it should be more than a starter. You should have this conversation and you should want this conversation. You should feel happy that this is the conversation.
So kind of along those lines, when we were driving up to Michigan on Wednesday, I texted a couple friends and I had gotten a couple texts. And my I was just interested to see how people would respond to another homecoming, because even in my own brain, I was like, yeah, it's not going to be the same as 2014. But the reason why it can't be the same as 2014 is LeBron's at the end of his career. And I think he gives you a better chance to win. But like, it's just not 2014. He's already won the first championship. And I think that's what makes the idea of LeBron leaving the Lakers, especially for Cleveland, so interesting is, like, LeBron doesn't just think, where can I go to win a championship? It's where can I go to win a championship, and where can I go that maybe takes my legacy to the next step? And Cleveland, by all, like, another win in Cleveland, coming home again, it would be significant. But I just don't know it could be as big as it was in 2014 for people. I don't know he would curry as much goodwill and good favor. And to a person, I ask people in Cleveland that are in the media, just picking their brains. I asked our buddy John Fanta. I asked my buddy Jim Cost in Detroit. I asked Bill Ryder. I asked all these people that I know. And to a person, they were like, to some varying degree of, yeah, it'd be cool, but it ain't going to be 2014.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right read on it. I mean, think about the audio that still gets played when LeBron came home and it's Lima doing the update and just losing his mind. Like, that was such a monumental thing. And
give it to me!
Yeah.
Give it to me!
Like, that's awesome.
Would Lima now be like, give it to me? Would he go, like, walking on it?
He was definitely walking at the end of it. Give it to me. I don't know what his reaction would be, but I'm sure it'd be great.
Hey, LeBron's back.
It'd still be good, but it would also, it just wouldn't hit the same way. But I think that a lot of that has to do with the idea that right now, a lot of people believe that the Cavs without LeBron can make it to the NBA Finals this upcoming season. Whether you do or I do, it's a different story, but like Vegas right now thinks that you can. Vegas right now has the Cavs at 55.5 wins for the upcoming season and the best team in the East. Adding LeBron should help that. No one's denying it, but it doesn't take away from the idea that they built this thing without LeBron as well.
But if we focus on LeBron winning on the court and off the court, meaning there's a narrative that you can spin, and then you actually win on the court as well, Cleveland's really one of the only places that satiates that. Like, I think New York, because of like Madison Square Garden, I actually think that would be kind of an interesting, like, exclamation point if he went to New York and then won one season with the Knicks and then won the first championship since 1972. There aren't a lot of other places like that, though.
Yeah, so what I came up with last week, I want to tell it to you, so you can tell me whether or not you think it was a right take, wrong take, anything in between.
Finally, quarterback tier retribution.
Here we go. All right. So, oh no, that means it's dead on arrival, isn't it?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
It might be. All right, that's really
what,
be good.
What
then.
Font are you speaking in?
I'm gonna present
Could
this
Jake
in the
Murren do it better.
The Excel spreadsheet version of this take. Okay, we're gonna get this thing off. So Peyton Manning, like what's the one defining thing of Peyton Manning's career is the idea that he went to, four Super Bowls with four different head coaches. People always look at that as like, it's an awesome accomplishment because you're able to do it with different head coaches, different places, et cetera, right? If he goes to the Knicks and goes four different places, four different spots, I feel like LeBron's legacy, where I once thought it would be tarnished if he went to a different spot because it's just too many places, I feel like taking four different teams and four different franchises to the finals, that might be, in a way that it was for Peyton Manning, with, you know, four head coaches. With LeBron, four different systems, four different setups might be what he's most remembered for.
But what's interesting is I think we're so much more forgiving to quarterbacks and just anybody but NBA players and anybody but LeBron. We're just the media in general, and when I say media, it's really an extension of the fans. The whole thing, the whole system is so much more unforgiving to him. I think you have to win it. I think if he leaves
LA, anywhere
he goes, he has to win it, because just making the NBA Finals, he'll never get that kind of credit he deserves.
But that would be the point, is that if he was able to win it, then he should already be defined as somebody that can elevate teams and elevate places the way that he's done it for three different spots already. But imagine him going to New York, putting the cape on and doing that. Now, I don't know that he'd get the same level of respect from that perspective if he came to the Cavs and did it, but it shouldn't bother him because it is a different situation. And he would be the person that got Donovan then up over the second round hump.
I think what's really interesting about this is in 2014, there was nowhere that LeBron could go where he would win off the court as much as he would in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it rewrote the decision. It rewrote his own personal arc. It brought a championship to a team that had never been, they'd been to one finals because of him, but never had a reasonable chance of winning a championship. And did it, by the way, for four straight years of having a reasonable, credible threat to win. So I don't think that's the advantage Cleveland has. I think the advantage is, I think with what you would give up to get LeBron, I think you can say LeBron, Ladon Evan, as we call them, LeBron, Evan, and Donovan would give you a better chance of winning a championship next year than LeBron, Jalen Brunson, and I guess Cat would still be there.
Yeah, Cat would still be there. So they would trade like Mikal Bridges would probably be the big piece that goes.
So like I think you still have a better chance of winning.
I want to touch on something you said in the first stretch of that there, though. So you think there's a spot that would be a better fairy tale storybook ending than Cleveland?
I think the New York thing.
I don't see it that way.
I think the Knicks having not won a championship since 1972. And guys, this is not a dream that small market, mid market fans, anything you do in New York is more consequential. The Knicks, who every time they get good, there is a glow up on the four letter network alone at the idea of the Knicks being really good and winning a championship. That narrative is as powerful now. Not having won a title in 50 years is now as powerful as winning the first title in Cleveland.
I'm open to the conversation. I did underplay in my head the severity and how just insane the Bing Bongers are in New York.
Yeah.
Because they really are. I mean, if they taught us anything in this last little stretch over the couple years, and really last year and making it to the conference finals, I mean, they shut New York Times Square. I just called it New York Times Square. That's bad by me. But they shut Times Square down.
A real quarterback tier moment for you.
I'm just not a New Yorker is what this is. I'm just not a New Yorker. Apologies for not being a New Yorker.
What are you talking about?
Sorry. As I say it like a New Yorker, I apologize for not being a New Yorker.
That was kind of like Regis. I'm not saying it was bad.
Which is classic New York, by the way.
It wasn't bad.
There's the epitome of someone that's New York.
I don't know I would classify it as good.
Now, I'm just going to do that voice and just call it Regis moving forward then.
But in fairness to the conversation we're having, I still think there's a part of me that thinks like the 2014 was so pure. There was no one crapping on it other than hot take artists like Skip Bayless, who nobody gave a damn what they said. I think this would be different. I think if he came home, I was talking with Bill, and Bill has been very critical of LeBron this summer and just where the direction of the Lakers and LeBron's the la drama, as it were. And I asked him, and he's like, I just don't think I could embrace it. And that to me surprised me.
Because you already got yours. That's it. 2016, you already got yours.
Well, I think
for some people, that's enough. It's not enough for me. I'm a championship guy. But for a lot of people, well, you're the one smiling over ALCS appearances the last 2 seconds.
I am a championship guy.
I've never been anything but.
Big championship guy. You know what I am? I'm a top three guy.
Big titles guy.
If I don't have a top three pick, I'm never going to be happy. But you're a championship guy over
not
there.
Not satisfied with the ALCS.
I forgot.
We've talked about it.
I forgot those picket signs outside the World Series championship in Chicago.
I don't know what else we're playing for. We're not playing for titles here, Nick.
But
you know what my house in Solon's called? Title Town.
I thought it was No-So. You mean
you keep calling it No-So because you want me to be No-So Jonathan, like No-Ho Hank.
No, No-So Johnny.
No, so Johnny, yeah. Even worse.
That sounds like a badass gambler.
No, it doesn't.
All right, listen, we're going to pay your money, but you got to go see No, So
Johnny.
Johnny
sounds like the guy that cheats out on his gambling debts, not the guy that enforces the gambling debts.
It does not.
Like, oh, no. Did you get that 20 from No, So Johnny? No, No, So Johnny's a deadbeat.
Deadbeat. No, So Johnny. Nay. No. No, So Johnny's like the cool gambler that all the like the Sharks and the Vinnies and the Boomboxes and all that they're like, listen, I hope I never have to break his legs.
Yeah, No, So Johnny has had multiple knees that have been broken.
I don't think we're talking about the same Johnny. Mm. This all being said, where are we going? Oh, I think it's really interesting that LeBron could come home for a third time, which for just you and me, like I would immediately think we're winning the title next year, even where he is now.
Yeah.
Even being the guy who can't take over games single-handedly back to back to back to back, which, by the way, the idea that people hold that against him is so stupid, I can't even comprehend it. But
I think there's another segment, though, and this is part of what last week taught us, and it's taught us a lot with these LeBron conversations, Nick. I think a lot of people don't believe that it's going to happen, so they're not letting their feelings actually attach themselves to LeBron. And so if it were to happen, I think the reaction would be very different because everybody would then get instantly excited and they'd think about it and they'd talk about it and they'd have a lot of fun with it.
See, what's interesting is
there's a segment of people that aren't letting their feelings open to the idea that it could happen. They think about LeBron as he's just toying with them the way that he's toyed with us a couple different times already.
But I think what's really interesting about that is I also think that's rooted in LeBron fatigue. I mean, I got it with Tom Brady, so I'm not sitting on a soapbox here. But I think there are people who, if they could just retire LeBron tomorrow, I'm talking about like national media members. I'm talking about big names in the sport because they've seen it and they're sick of the game and they just wanted to move on. And I get that. Those are the same people that are going to wax poetic about LeBron in 5 years. And those are the same people that if LeBron did win a championship in Cleveland to end his career in year 23, championship number 5, I think would change their tune. But it would be up until that point. He would get incredible. Yeah, sorry. He wouldn't get incredible. It's not the decision. He would get so much more criticism and the expectations would be so much higher this time. Because the only thing that would pass the bar and him coming home again for a lot of people, even in Cleveland, it's lesser in Cleveland than it is outside of Cleveland. The only way he wins this whole thing and gets both what he wants, which is a championship and winning off the court, winning the narrative battle, is if he wins that title.
No, you have to. That's the problem in this discussion if you're LeBron, is that if you make that move, you have to then deliver. Where meanwhile, if he stays in Los Angeles, he doesn't have to win anything.
Would LeBron's second homecoming be received the same as his 2014 homecoming? I'm just curious, where would it rank for you? Would it be anywhere close? If tomorrow he said, actually, I've opted out of my contract and I'm signing a veteran min deal in Cleveland, would that to you come anywhere close to 2014? 216-474-0092. It's not about how it might actually be. It's going to be about how it's going to be perceived. And perception is reality. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey, guys. Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Before we get to the king of marketing.
Waffle is the word again.
The king of keeping yourself out there front and center. And yes. I say that with admiration.
Yes.
We got a special message from somebody.
Oh, we did.
One of the most respected journalists this city has ever seen is joining us right now, Mr. Leon Bibb. Hello, Leon.
Leon!
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Well. You were inspired by our fireworks conversation?
We've all done stupid things.
And
count me among that number.
No, you didn't. No, come on, Leon.
But that's why I don't fool with fireworks. I quit when I was about 12 years old because when I was growing up in Cleveland, we would set up fireworks off inside a bottle. You drop it in a bottle and watch the glass go everywhere. And we would duck behind a wall before it went off and just listen to it, and nobody got hurt. Nobody got hurt, but it was stupid stuff. But when you're 10 years old, you do stupid stuff. And I'm telling kids out there, don't do that. And then I had a friend who actually held a firework, one of the little bitty ones, in his hand and let it go off. I'll never forget that. And he didn't get hurt. I mean, I don't understand why not. But every time I come see a fireworks, I don't even want to handle them, even if they're not lit. I don't even want to be around them. So leave them alone. I don't go for the backyard stuff.
Leon,
you're in the group, Leon.
I'm telling you,
we couldn't agree more.
You know, when you get to be an old man and you look back upon your childhood, you say, "I did stupid stuff, and only by the grace of God am I still here." You know.
Well, thank God you were, because we'd have missed a lot of great journalism if you weren't.
Yeah. So don't fool with fireworks.
Don't fool with fireworks. Sorry. Leon Bibb says, kids, don't fool with fireworks. By the way, big week for Glenville. Superman coming out this week. Your alma mater.
Big week for Glenville. You got Joe Schuster and Jerry Siegel, who invented Superman. They went to Glenville High School long before my time, back in the 1930s. And I've been to the Superman house there on Kimberly Avenue, where one of the boys grew up. And there's a guy who bought that house. He's been in it for a long time now. And he's turned it into a museum. Into a museum.
So, Leon, Superman, you are the man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Superman, Leon, thank you. Say it one more time for all the kids, Leon.
Don't fool with fireworks.
Leon Bibb, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Thanks, Leon. You're the best.
You guys take care.
You too.
Stay warm.
One of the great journalists in our city's history.
I do believe we have a quick predict.
Mr. Leon Bibb.
Drop right there. Don't fool with fireworks.
Let's see what I can do.
All right.
That works out perfectly.
Yes.
He is a gentleman who knows how to market himself.
Say that again.
And the best thing about it is, like, no, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. Is there, Andy?
There is, if he just wanted to put a little... somebody brought this up on the morning show this morning. I thought it was a great point. This is the first time LeBron doesn't really control his own destiny, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he does to a point because of no trade.
He said, yes, I'll take the 50-some million.
Yeah, that's true. He decided to be there. But then this week, he just shows up all around town. And for the first time ever, you know, you've got stories of this. Maybe this L.A. thing isn't as great as it's made out to be.
Well, maybe.
Let's not. LeBron is the best media hyper I've ever seen. Is that the right way, media? He knows how to control the media better than any player than I've ever seen.
He makes sure that he controls the narrative.
All the time.
That's tough to do.
Yes.
However.
But you have to be really good to pull that off. That's the thing.
On July 4th, Hoop Central on X put out a picture. LeBron at the Cavs practice facility today.
Mm-hmm.
And there was LeBron with his arm around some young man who is not identified, and I'm not sure who it is. And LeBron not wearing a shirt. And if you and I looked that way without wearing a shirt, we wouldn't wear shirts. LeBron followed it up. Because people started going, wait a minute, LeBron's at the Cavs practice facility. Oh, look out, look out, look out, LeBron. And every summer since it was built, I live here still, and I train every summer. And then he looks like a typo. He said, basically, you're all bored. Go get a plate of food somewhere and enjoy the 4th of July.
You know, but he knows that that's going to send a little chill down the spine of the folks with the Lakers. Rob Pelinka can't like that. Can he?
Well,
you're trying to tell me there's nowhere else where he could work out?
Otherwise, maybe he's just, staying in great shape, Andy. And where's
You're saying he doesn't have a gym in his house?
Would you go to I actually don't believe that he's got a full gym.
No, I'm not talking about to be able to play basketball. I'm talking about weight room.
Oh, I'm sure he's got that.
Yeah.
But why would you?
You walk into VASJ anytime he wants to?
I'm sure he probably not. You mean St. V, St. M. He could probably go to Villa Angela St. Joe's if he wanted to.
He could.
Just got to make a phone call. Sorry, I'm LeBron. I want to go to VASJ.
All these four-letter schools are killing me, man. Sorry.
Four-letter schools.
We'll get it fixed.
We got too many of them. Any more four-letter schools?
That's just my favorite little drop you play.
We'll get it fixed.
Yeah, or St. Vincent, St. Mary.
I love it, though. There's LeBron. Hi, I'm in the Cavs practice facility, but there's nothing to see here.
Although that's soon to be the WNBA practice facility.
Well, apparently not soon, but close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great idea.
We were talking before about if you were on another team, why wouldn't you want to work out there? I mean, look, he is in the NBA, and that is an NBA facility. And it's top rate.
And it was built close to Akron for a reason.
Yeah. Can we make the drive half the drive for LeBron when he wants to come to practice?
Worked out well, didn't it?
It did work out really well, didn't it?
It's a beautiful facility.
I'm surprised they didn't build something a little bit closer to 82 or something a little bit. I mean, there's plenty of land out there.
LeBron
at the time,
LeBron
there wasn't a
there.
Hospital over there or anything. So.
He can get there in less than 20 minutes.
If Shador was driving, he'd be there in like 10. Too soon?
Rim shot?
Too soon?
Wow.
Remember, LeBron also got a ticket for exceeding double digits.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah. See, Shador, you have something to look forward to. I forgot about LeBron
on his
doing
way
the
to
same
be
thing.
LeBron!
There you go.
You keep plugging away, little buckaroo. You'll get there one day.
If you're the Cavs, you okay with him training there?
Yeah, why not? Who cares?
Yeah, that's what I think.
I think it's good for
marketing. Why not?
Again, it's good for marketing, right? If it's good enough for LeBron, it's good enough for any player in the NBA. And if you, and I think it's awesome that teams can go in there and work out if they want to. I would let any player in the NBA, if they wanted to, during open gym, right? Obviously, unless there's some kind of Cavs function at that time, I would welcome them with open arms and treat them with a full court press of niceness when they walk in the room, because you never know when someone's going to play for you. Although I would be a little upset if I was from another team. Wouldn't you? If you were the Lakers, don't you think they're a little upset about him working out?
No, Andy, it's completely innocent. Completely innocent.
Just like
as
that dinner
LeBron
with,
said, yeah. I live here still and I train every summer. You're all bored. Go get a plate of food somewhere and enjoy the 4th of July. So completely innocent. Unless Mike and Chardon's right. Hello, Mike.
Mike, what do you got for us?
It's actually Mike and Stowe, guys.
Oh, Mike and Stowe.
It just looks like Chardon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mike, there's no imposter. And so I'm not moving to Chardon. There's too much snow up there. I'm not a show, big
fan. Some people would say that Stowe is Chardon Heights, but who knows? Keep going. Yes.
So, good afternoon, guys. How are you doing? How was your holiday?
Good. It was good. Are you going to drop a nugget on us here?
No. I got something good for as far as LeBron. So this is why I really believe. You know, like, he's done this a few times in the past. And, you know, obviously we can all recognize that that's, you know, what he does to bring the narrative back to him, because he wants to stay in the limelight. It's part of his brand. You know, part of making money when you're a billionaire is just keeping it on you. You know, that's how it continues to roll even faster. So, but I really believe that he is thinking like this, that, you know, L.A. is going to be tough. I believe he wants a better final chapter to his story. I think he wants to get, you know, the narrative back on him even more. What better way to do it than to go out in complete style? And I don't know that he knows he can do it in L.A. I don't know if that roster is able to get over that hump, especially in the West. So I really see him thinking like, you know, I could work my way back. There's one of two opportunities. It's either Cleveland or New York, because they're the best two chances in the East to take it. And one's way better as far as the whole, ending.
Oh, no.
Mike, your phone's busting up.
It's true, but it's like, look.
No, your phone was busting up. That's why I said, oh, no.
Oh, no. Is he okay now?
Yeah, you're good now. Keep going.
Okay. All right. So I believe that he loves the attention. And look, what he got, he has to get it back this way, you know. And if there's something to this, now I just don't think LA can pull it off. So keep posted, guys. I don't even know if I want to lose all we have to lose to get rid of him, be certain of that. But I honestly think there is something to this. So
all right, Mike, thank you very much. I actually think that LA made a decent move in getting DeAndre Ayton. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some talk that maybe he's not the most motivated guy. I thought he played fairly well for Portland, former number one overall pick. You put Ayton with LeBron, Luka, and Austin Reeves. That's a real nice foursome.
Does LeBron
real
want
nice.
More? Does LeBron want more?
Well, he always
more?
Wants more, and you can't
yeah,
blame
and
him.
So is he not putting the full court press on?
I don't know.
I never had a problem with LeBron not signing long-term deals here, because it constantly put pressure on the front office to make the team better every year.
And he made so much money off the court that he could do that.
Yeah.
And risk the idea of injury and not getting, you know, $200 million locked in or $300 million or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was interesting that he didn't, but man, it's paid off for him without question. One thought with him and the Cavs And this is why I think, okay, there he sits at the Cavs practice facility, and why he follows up with, hey, LeBron was at the practice facility today, and he says, and every summer since it was built. It's this. He picked up his option. Because he picked up his option, he's going to make over $50-some million this year. If he didn't pick up the option, he could have signed here on a vet minimum. If he really wanted to come back, that's not LeBron. I don't blame him. I mean, why would anybody, even a rich guy, walk away from $50-some million? Why would you do that? You wouldn't do that.
No.
So how can the Cavs possibly acquire a guy making $50-some million? You'd have to make a big trade, and yeah. I don't know that works.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, I mean, if he just wanted to come back to Cleveland, he could have done it. He could have not picked up his option and signed a vet minimum like Larry Nance Jr. did.
True. So yeah, I just think every once in a while he shows up in the news to make sure his name is still in the headlines and to make his current employer feel a little uncomfortable if they feel like they've done enough.
And I get it.
And until you win a championship, he's you haven't
position,
done enough.
He's in position to do that. They have won a championship.
Yeah.
But now he wants another. And I get it. I understand. I just, if he really wanted to come back to Cleveland and have the best chance to win a championship, if those two things were the biggest things, back to Cleveland and win a championship, he would have not picked up his option. He would have signed here on a vet minimum. And he would have slid in at small forward next to Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland.
I hate to bring this up because I heard this coming in too, but I wonder, Anthony said that he had talked to a lot of fans over the weekend about this too. And this story didn't come up as much as the Guardians did for me talking to people, but just saying that would they even want LeBron back?
No, of course they would.
Do Cavs fans, well, not in, Cavs if you fans. Go back and play cut from their show,
yeah, well,
he painted a picture where now they were like, okay, that page is turned.
Those are Lima snarky friends.
Oh, that's, he does have some snarky friends.
Come on.
That's true.
You know the deal.
That's true. Good point.
Anthony, we love you and your friends.
Yes.
Now let's see if he agrees with me. Bill Ryder joins us right now, Ryder Than You on the Infinity Sports Network. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. You tired of hearing about LeBron nationally?
No, you know what? I mean, my feelings are hurt. LeBron called me a liar on Twitter 3 months ago, so who knows how nice I'll be. But I love talking LeBron. I wouldn't have a career without LeBron, so let's do it.
What? He called you a liar. I'm sorry, I did not see this. He called you a liar.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was doing a live show, and I got a bunch of, you know, whatever, X mentions, and I thought, oh, man, I'm killing it. I'm crushing it. But I didn't realize LeBron called me a beeping, an effing lie. Yeah, LeBron had a little temper tantrum a few months ago with me. Sure.
Holy God. Tone, I'm speechless to some level. Well, I mean, LeBron, I don't know. He's gotten a little bit nasty with some people recently. You, I didn't realize that. Brian Windhorst, which, I don't know. I felt that was honestly beyond the pale for him, but regardless. So, Bill, is it worth the squeeze then for the Cleveland Cavaliers to maybe take another run at LeBron James?
I love what you just said. Look, if you're in for the carnival, it 100% is. I know I'm supposed to give you a straight answer. I'm not sure. I mean, I think the window for Cleveland is right now, or maybe the next 2 years. The East is down. They're the best team. Teams are on the upswing. The East isn't going to be this bad in the years ahead, I don't think. So the answer is maybe. The problem is, as you guys know, the price that you have to spend to get LeBron James. Is he still an amazing player? He's amazing. Is he a pain in the you-know-what when he's in the locker room? Yeah, it kind of is. You guys tell me. My understanding is I don't think that would be as big of an issue in Cleveland because of the reverence that the city certainly has for him. I would probably take that swing if I'm Kobe Altman, but I understand where you would not, because he is older, and guys, he can be difficult. He can suck the energy and the life out of a room when things are going badly, and if the bleep hit the fan in Cleveland and he's there, I do worry that your very, maybe 2 year window would shrink pretty quickly.
All right, Bill, so this is the analysis we come for, because I feel like a lot of the people I've been arguing with didn't pay attention to, say, Kevin Durant last year. They didn't realize that he was actually the most efficient isolation player in like 20 years of tracking data last year in the NBA 37. LeBron James, I found him to be In my personal ratings, I had him as a top 10 player in the league. He was second team All-NBA, got MVP votes. So I know they got bounced early, so people thought that nullified a lot of that. How good was LeBron James last year?
No, I think you're right. I was just having this conversation with assistant GM a week ago. Top 8 to 12 player in the league. And here's the other thing. I mean, look, the guy is going to be 41 in December. He is still really, really good. He's a 25-26, you know, 8-8 guy. Maybe he's lagged a little bit defensively, but the view around the NBA is, look, if you can get LeBron on most teams, I think you do it. The problem becomes LeBron opting into that deal. If LeBron hadn't opted into his player option, if it wasn't going to cost, I don't even know what it would be for you guys, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Strus, whoever, whatever it is, and you can bring him in for the mid-level, 100% you do it, especially if you can pair him with a great, incredible lockdown defense. If he doesn't have to be, I don't know, the third best defender on a team, which, by the way, he can do occasionally, but at 40, 41, he's just got to pace himself. He is still at a really, really high level. How long that lasts, I don't know, but for Cleveland, at least on paper, right, if not including what has to go away now to bring him in, you've got a 1 or 2 year window. Donovan's getting older. The aprons are a real thing. The East is so bad right now with the Pacers injured. I don't think the Bucks are going to be very good. Boston's in rebuild mode. So on paper, it makes sense for LeBron because, yes, you're right. He's a top 10 player, 100%. The problem becomes, I think, is the price worth it if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers or, like the Thunder a year ago, do they feel like we're on the verge of breaking through?
Bill Ryder joining us here on the show. Well, yeah, like, because, you know, I want to ask you about LeBron taking less here in a second. I like Donovan so much, and I think this is one of the few times in the organization's history, like the team feels like it's there's a player who's definitely a leader, and then there's everybody else. LeBron was one of those guys, and even LeBron had his problems with his two stints here and there with those Cavs teams. I do think, though, that if we're talking about championships, Donovan is obsessed. So I think Donovan would probably, if he had to step aside or if he had to lead forward. I do worry about the maturation to some extent of Evan Mobley. I think that we're starting to scratch the surface of how great he can be. How great that is, I'm not sure. But I think that we're starting to scratch the surface of that. Maybe LeBron bogs that down. I don't think he's here to leave it in a better position than where he's found it. He's never really done that. But this is as close to a championship as I've ever seen them. And I really thought, Bill, I really thought that I was like, wow, we're seeing a team that can approach a championship without LeBron James. I never thought I'd see it in my life. And here we are with another chance. And I get tired of making the argument too, but I want to see them cash in. They've made several big moves to put themselves in this position, but it feels like they're getting passed up by other teams in the East.
Yeah, it does. And this is, again, this is the year. The thing about LeBron that I don't know, and I honestly don't know the answer, is at this stage of his career, let's just say he's in Cleveland. Let's say the Cavs bring him back. Is he going to go more the Steph Curry route or the, what's about, Tim Duncan route, where he'll play a secondary role if he has to, he'll limit his minutes, he'll let Donovan be the guy even every other night when it really matters, he'll let Mobley continue to develop, or, and there's nothing wrong with this, is he more of a Kobe Bryant where it's still about me, I'm still the focal point, I still think I can do it? Because if LeBron James goes back to Cleveland, or really anywhere for that matter, where there's a real, because there's not in L.A., real championship opportunity, is he able, as the best or second best, I think he's the best player in the history of the game, to actually be, like, accept that he's the second or third most important player on a team, and then maybe take over critical games when you get to the playoffs? I don't know the answer to that. Again, I like LeBron. I really do. Like, I know him. You guys probably know him. He's not a bad guy. He gets a bad rap. He is a pain in the ass. Whatever. All of those things are true. But he has an ego, and he is competitive. And for me, if I'm the Cleveland Cavaliers, I know what he is on paper. I just need to know the role he's willing to play at 40 or 41, because I think you guys have a real chance to be champions next year without LeBron James. And so the question becomes, is bringing LeBron in an enhancer? Because if it is, I'm in. Or is it potentially something that limits a little bit this organic thing that Kobe Altman has put together post-LeBron James?
Bill Ryder joining us right at the New Infinity Sports Network. You had said a while ago, or maybe was it last week, that LeBron should have taken less?
Yeah.
I disagree, but I want to know why.
Well, look, it's easy for me to take $70 million out of LeBron's pocket, right? I mean, I would take a fraction of that and stop working other than talking to you guys on the radio and chill. Again, it's really easy for me to take somebody else's money. We have seen guys do this, right? We've seen Mahomes do this to a degree. We've seen Tom Brady do it. Kobe didn't do it. Tim Duncan did. I have always operated under the assumption LeBron James cared more about rings than anything else, and I have sat across from LeBron and had conversations about how he wants to be the best player of all time. And for me, you certainly have to collect rings to do that, especially with Jordan's legacy. I know LeBron went on his podcast and said rings are stupid. That is just a public relations move by him. For unless he just wants to live in Los Angeles and hang out and chill in Brentwood and enjoy the... I mean, look, I'm looking at the ocean right now, and it's 67 degrees, so...
Congratulations on all your success.
But I'm from Iowa, right? Like, I would go back to Iowa in a heartbeat if I could have the job that I wanted. He's not from Cleveland, but he's from Akron. I mean, it's... If I'm LeBron James, if I'm advising him, you have enough money, you are literally approaching a billionaire on just your entrepreneurial skill, you have a movie studio in effect that you've put together, you've got your claws into an agent. I mean, LeBron is an incredibly impressive business person. He doesn't need money. It's about pride. It's about his philosophy that player empowerment means you should get a big chunk of the cash. I get it. He's gotten his money. He's made millions and billions for players. If I were him, I would have chased the best opportunity to win a championship, and that certainly means not making the money that he makes now.
Bill Ryder with us on the hotline. One more on LeBron, then I want to ask you something you said about the Cavs. So Karl-Anthony Towns is making roughly the same money as LeBron, and I've tried to tell Cavs fans, like, how would you feel if you don't want LeBron? How would you feel if the Knicks and their really talented starting five traded Karl-Anthony Towns for LeBron? How would you feel about playing them in a series? I would be petrified. I already know the Knicks would give us all we can handle without LeBron. Imagine they had LeBron. I'd be very nervous.
No, it's a good call. And by the way, the Knicks are the only team. I mean, something will emerge or change. Maybe the Pistons or maybe the Magic. But really, the Knicks are the only team that feel like a real threat to Cleveland. You know, at this point in July, looking to what, almost a year from now. And I don't know where you guys – The Cat's very talented. I wouldn't want Karl-Anthony Towns in my aspiring championship team if I could choose somebody else. So if I am the Cleveland Cavaliers, I would much rather face a team that has Cat than has LeBron. The thing is, it's easier for the Knicks to pull that off because, as you know, you basically unplug Cat, right? It's one guy. For you all, it's so much depth you have to give away. And I know that's not the model of the NBA the last 20 years, but it is the model of the NBA the last 2 years. And part of why I think the Cavs can be great is they have deep and they have depth. They have multiple pieces. It's a different equation for New York than for Cleveland.
Okay, my next question is, you said earlier, like, you thought the Cavs were in a great spot as is. The problem with us has been, obviously not the regular season, we are gangbusters. We look like an all-time great offense the last few years, and when they want to play defense, they look like they have one of the best defenses in the league. And then we see a very different team in the playoffs. This year, there were excuses, there were the injuries, but physicality, that is something that really bothers the Cavs come playoff time. Their own coach and GM had brought up both physical and mental toughness. So there hasn't been a proof of concept that this works in the playoffs, and we're going on year four of this core. Give us a reason why we think, other than the East is really down, that you think the Cavs could get over the hump.
All right, here's my glass half full view, and I mostly see it this way. With the era where you make the finals if you are the Warriors with Steph or you have LeBron in the East from, whatever, 10 years ago, the new reality is it takes a while to learn to be a champion. The Thunder, a year ago, were coming off a one seed. They tied for the one seed, and they flamed down the second round of the playoffs. Now they're champions. The Celtics, a couple years ago, were champions. They had multiple, with at least Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, multiple NBA Finals/Conference Finals appearances without a championship. They learned how to get there and to do that. I really think that you have to climb that ladder now in the NBA, like you did back in the 80s and 90s, like the Bulls had to do, like the Pistons had to do, like all of those teams had to do. You guys had huge expectations for a huge stretch. You were the best team in the NBA, along with the Thunder, when you had that sort of home and away where you won one and you lost one. It looked like you were on the same level. I think the experience you just had of disappointment will make them mentally tougher if, and I do, but some people don't, you believe Donovan Mitchell can be an absolute superstar in the playoffs and sort of lift a team when they rally around him. So for me, the experience you guys just went through, the heartbreak, that's what it takes to forge teams into champions, and I think you have it, but you don't know until you know until mid-April rolls around.
I do want to ask you about Donovan Mitchell. Ken started out the interview talking about the window of the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell has been sensational this last year with his minutes limited a bit. You could argue was the best season of his entire career. obviously in the playoffs, again, talk of a calf strain, putting the whole team on his back and on fumes by the second round. And that's the second round.
Yeah.
What is a reasonable expectation of Donovan? How many more peak Donovan years do we have?
Man, when does he turn 30? A year? This year? This upcoming season? I mean, two? I mean, I think it's two. I think you can confidently, it can go longer, right? We know that sort of with modern conditioning. But you have two more years. Two more years, I would feel comfortable saying Donovan is a top, he's an all-NBA player. He's a top 15 player. He's obviously capable of scoring 50 or 60 points on any given night. Yeah, I think he's that good for the next couple years. Then you get into some difficulties at 31 or 32 in contract situations. But he is that. And the thing is, and you're right. I mean, there was a humility in the service of excellence this past year, I thought, where he was willing to take fewer minutes and take fewer shots and sort of cede things to other guys on the team. That was critical. And even though the league hates load management, you have to find a way to rest these guys. Maybe that's the best argument for LeBron. He's a cyborg. I think Donovan Mitchell has two great years left in him, but you're right. They have to pace him, or he has to pace himself. He's got to be exceptional in May, not just in October and January.
Bill, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you. We thank you.
Yeah, guys, my wife's from Ohio. Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Bill Ryder.
Summer league's going on. Browns were 2 weeks away from training camp opening up. Who the hell knows what's going on with the Guardians? Let's go out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome on of the Athletic and 92.3 The Fan, the great Jason Lloyd. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, boys. What's going on?
Just trying to figure out how to beautify Cleveland with more statues, Jason. And we got the 18-foot Superman statue going in. Can you think of something worthy of Cleveland that could use another statue here downtown?
Oh, gosh. Boy, off top of my, what a question to start with off the top of my head. Man, I'm come back to me on that. Give me a minute to think about that.
We got you on that one. So we talked earlier, though, about the idea that the Browns and David Njoku have interest going into the final year of his deal on an extension. I'm out on it. JP's very much in on it. Do you think that makes a lot of
sense?
Hold
on. I wouldn't say very much in. I'm in. On the idea that it's not, he's not getting Trey McBride money here, Jason. He's getting like a 2-year deal for about 11 and a half each year.
What do you think, Jason?
I don't think that's going to get it done. I think it's going to, that would be a pay cut. He'd have to take a pay cut.
That's the point, yeah.
He's not taking a pay cut, I don't think. Like, he's 29 years old. It's funny, when he signed the original deal, I think a lot of people sort of looked at it as like an overpay, whether it's slight overpay or a steep overpay, depending on where you were. But I think a lot of people looked at that as like, what was he like, the fifth highest paid tight end, I think, at the time he signed a deal? Like, really? David Njoku's the fifth best tight end in the NFL?
And he's still, by year, he's still the sixth highest average.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where he'll stay. Like, I don't think he's going to take a pay cut at 29, right? Like, he's still in the prime of his career for as long as he's been here. You know, it feels like he's been here a lifetime. He was so young when he got here. It's a big year for him. If he goes out and, you know, they go back to the Stefanski-type offense and two tight ends, and we all know that story and how it goes, and he puts up good numbers, why would he take a pay cut? So I think they'll get something done, and I think he'll probably stay in the vicinity of where he's at in terms of tight end rankings.
So what we weren't talking about after this season, because it would be a free agent, and then people would, you know, you'd be able to test the waters with everyone. Mary Kay was on earlier today suggesting in the next couple months. So we'd be playing off of last year's info, where last year he was not the greatest tight end we've ever seen. But like,
I still think he's getting the same money. He's not going to take a pay cut.
I like David Njoku, so I want to make this work. So if you think the starting number then is, if he's at 13.6 now, and it's, let's say it's a 2 or 3 year deal for 13.6, let's just call it flat on the flat right there, 13.6 for each of the next three seasons. Are you in or are you out?
I would do it, yeah. And I think it might be a little bit higher than that. Maybe I'm way off on this, but I think it's probably looking at 15. You know, a lot of guys, when their next contracts, when it's an extension like that, they get a raise. So you're not going to come back on the same number that you were. And obviously, you know, NFL contracts are weirder than any other sport, with guaranteed money. And, you know, the dollars don't always mean the actual dollars. And it's just sort of strange how it all works out. So it's hard to sit here and project what a deal would look like. I just don't think he's taking a pay cut at the end of the day. If it's going to be a number that at least starts with where he's at and probably going to tick up slightly.
I guess I just wonder, sorry, Nick, I guess I just wonder why you think he would deserve a raise. Like, you deserve a raise when your play has been worthy of a raise. And like I like Njoku, I think he's fringe top 10 somewhere in that range. I think his pass blocking is very underrated. I think he's a good tight end, but like in order to get $15, $16 million, like, as old as Kittle is, Kittle's putting up massive numbers. Trey McBride got that $76 million deal. You know, why? Because he's 1,200 yards a season.
For a best case scenario, right? Like that's an absolute best case. Realistically, I think you're probably looking at year two of mystery quarterback X. So probably 3 years away is when you're really back in contention. This year is I've called it a transition season, a bridge season, a tank season, whatever word you want to use. That's what this year is to me. And then you get the quarterback in place as a rookie, build the pieces around him, see what you've got, and then I think you're really ready to go in year two. And, I mean, isn't that kind of how it went in 2018 with Baker, with Baker's rookie year? Like, you had a good feeling about it. You felt like you had your guy. They were by no means Super Bowl contenders, but you felt like you were headed in the right direction. And then in 2019, it really felt like things were starting to fall into place and you were able to really sort of see the runway in front of you.
A lot of talk has been made about the ESPN rankings using coaches and executives and having Miles at number one over TJ Watt. Do you believe in that ranking, one? And then the second, the follow-up there is, if you were trying to make the case for TJ Watt, what would it be?
There is no case for TJ Watt. It's Miles. The answer is Miles. And I say that as someone who wrote the Browns should have traded him. But it was never, when I wrote that, it was never about Miles' play or his ability on the field. I've talked to NFL coaches who say TJ Watt's a lot easier to block than Miles. And so all you have to do is put the fullback on that side or put the extra blocker on that side, and you can take him out of the play much easier than you can Miles. So, I mean, there's no comparison to me between Miles and TJ Watt. Yeah, Miles is the best defensive end in the game. He's the dude that keeps offense coordinators up at night. You got to find 95. Before the ball is snapped, you have to find 95 and see where he's at on the field.
Jason, looking to the Cavaliers. Actually, I know you're in summer league. I thought it was really fascinating that everybody just kind of accepted, and you had GMs openly talking about the second round of the draft, where agents were pushing players where they wanted to go, like Tyrese Proctor being a top 40 prospect that went 49th to the Cavs. Why isn't this a bigger deal and a focal point of Adam Silver?
Why isn't what a bigger deal?
The agents steering players certain ways in the draft, certainly in the first round, but, I mean, are there 20 picks impacted by this in the second round this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of this – so the interesting thing about where we're at, and it's funny because we had meetings all day yesterday because, like, the entire athletic NBA team is out here, right? So we had meetings all day yesterday with all the athletic writers. And a big focus of conversation was this new world NBA and the second apron, the more punitive taxes, and the trickle-down effects of that. And I think one of the trickle-down effects of all of this is second-round picks become more valuable than they have been in the past. Second-round picks, and to Kobe's credit, Kobe was sort of, I don't know that I totally agree with it, but he was out in front on this. Kobe's always seen more value in second-round picks, I think, than a lot of the rest of the league did, and you can see that with how many twos that he's acquired over the years. And they've been able to use that as capital to sort of move around the board at times. The Kevin Porter Jr. trade comes to mind where they bundled a bunch of twos and moved up. Well, now the rest of the league is sort of falling in line with that and agrees that there's more value in second-round picks than there had been before because teams are just looking for talent on the margins wherever you can. In terms of agents steering guys to teams or to places, that's been going on for generations. So I don't think it's as big of a deal as some others have. Like, if you're calling him a top 40 talent and he falls to 49, is that really that much of a fall? You know, I don't know that it necessarily is. And if it's a guaranteed spot for the kid, then, you know, all the better. And if he was really a guy, I'm just going to throw out a team. I don't remember the draft order. If it's a guy the Hawks really wanted, or the Hornets really wanted, you're not going to care what the agent says. You're going to take him at 42, 43. You're not, you know, like at that point, it's 43rd pick. You're going to tell him, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but he's coming here. We're taking the guy. So I think a little bit too much has been made of that, but it's a great situation for the kid, obviously, to be able to get a roster spot as a second-round pick on day one and sort of have that locked in.
Are you sensing the hype around Summer League and Cooper Flagg and Bronny? The courtside seats are $2,600 a ticket here, Jason.
That's insane. That's totally insane. I actually just walked into the arena. I just got to the arena. The Cavs tip in about 45 minutes. And then that game is after, so I'll stick around and watch that game. Yeah, of course, I'm curious to see Cooper Flagg. But for a summer league game, that's like, I mean, that's not finals prices. I'm sure finals prices would be much higher.
I mean, I just paid $9 for a bag of M&M's and a stick of gum, a pack of gum. So I guess I shouldn't be shocked that it's $2,600 for courtside seats in Summer League.
Jason, we had Bill Ryder on the station earlier this week, and he said he believes Donovan has two more great years left before there's the begin of a potential decline. Is that a fair thing to think about if you're the Cavs, or is that maybe a little too punitive?
Why are you doing this to me?
Because I love you.
Listen, Donovan's under control for two more years. His next contract starts at $65 million. I think the Cavs have to think very long and very hard if you want to invest $65 million a year into Donovan Mitchell, given some of the calf problems he's had, lower leg problems that he's had. I keep writing, they're going to have to make hard decisions. Their window is the next 2 years, and then they're going to have to make hard decisions. And I'm trying to leave it there because I don't want to, like, it's just not worth sounding alarms on anything. But, I mean, do you want to pay Donovan Mitchell $65
million? No.
No. So that's a conversation for later. We don't need to worry about that now. He's here for 2 years, and they've got a really good team. They're a championship contender, and I say focus on that for right now. But, yeah, they're going to have some really hard decisions that they're going to have to make in the coming years. But we're not there yet.
Is the LeBron conversation dead to you, or is there still something a little intriguing about it all?
So here's been my stance on LeBron, and I haven't really moved off it. I think he plays in L.A. this year. I think he starts the year in L.A. There's no logical path that gets him to Cleveland outside of a buyout. And I don't know why the Lakers would do that, certainly not at this point. The Cavs are not going to get their roster for him, nor should they. And I, at $52 million, it's just a really hard number for teams to get to. Like, New York, actually, if it's anything, I think the Knicks make a ton of sense. From the Lakers' perspective, because, again, you got to look at this from L.A.'s perspective, the $52 million in cap space is valuable to them after this year. So, like, okay, you could trade LeBron to the Warriors for Jimmy Butler, but what good is that to the Lakers? Does Jimmy Butler really help you right now? No, I think the $52 million in cap space is more valuable to them going forward because this is all about Luka, and this is about who pairs well with Luka for the next 10 years. So, if we get to the trade deadline and the Lakers are fifth in the West or sixth in the West and they're a couple games over 500, but it just doesn't look like it's going well, you know, maybe we have a different conversation then, but at this point, the only feasible path that I think would get him here would be a buyout. I don't see LA doing that. So I just think it's moot. I think he starts the year in LA just because it's so hard. Outside of a Knicks trade for Cat, which works, and I have no idea if the Lakers would be interested in pairing Cat with Luka Doncic. But, you know, Mike Brown in New York, I mean, LeBron is very comfortable playing for Mike. That's well known. So that was sort of a neon sign when that happened of like, okay, what's going on here? But right now, as we stand here now, like you asked me what team is he opening the season on, I just think it's the Lakers.
All right, Jason, this is going to be a two-part before I let you go. One, have you come up with an answer on the statue thing?
A guitar, right? We need another guitar, don't we?
I like that. Yeah, a nice guitar. You could just get one of every rock instrument and put it around town.
As long as it's the biggest guitar.
I'm actually sick of the guitar because every logo for every all-star or anything that comes to Cleveland, it's always a guitar. Like, guys, can we come up with something else?
Just wait till the Rockers come back. All right, and there's a Twitter account that basically said, post your Cavs all-time starting five. I want you to grade mine. Mark Price, Ron Harper, LeBron, Larry Nance Sr., and Brad Doherty.
I mean, I'll take the starting five from 2016 because they won a championship. How's that?
That hurts my seven-year-old feelings there.
He's telling you he wanted Kyrie in that lineup.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think Mark Price fits better with LeBron.
I mean, Kyrie hit the biggest shot in franchise history. And I say that as someone who freaking loved Mark Price as a kid. Mm. I loved Mark Price.
Doesn't sound like
it. If Mark Price played in this era, if he'd have played 10 years ago, he'd have been a beast with the three-point shot and everything else. But, man, it's hard to – but the only team that's won a championship in the last 50-some-odd years, I think I'll just take that starting lineup and call it.
Jason, enjoy your $9 gum. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
I'll see you guys.
Jason Lloyd there of The Athletic and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Interesting take on Donovan's future in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Down to Browns training camp is on, and the preseason is also, you know what that means. Oh, it's going to be that quarterback competition as it takes center stage. The NBA offseason is here too, so the Cavs could make a big move at any moment. You got to be locked in. You know you do. Don't miss a minute of The Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
We're going to hear from the newest Cavalier, Lonzo Ball, coming up in just a second here on Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin, Matt Corrale taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092, and Dan Menigan getting ready to let us hear from Lonzo Ball coming up in just a second. Before we get to that, the official Kevin Durant deal was announced, and this turns into the largest trade in NBA history with seven teams involved. How the heck do you put something like that together? Isn't that stunning?
Logistics expert.
How they do these things? I just think it's really wacky. I mean, how do you get seven teams, and I know there are different parts and this blah, 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 blah. How do you get seven teams to all agree to something like this?
Use the trade machine. That's how everyone knows how it is.
Yeah,
they go on ESPN and they're like, all right, let's do the trade machine.
So there are seven teams involved.
Save ourselves a lawyer.
The Rockets, Phoenix Suns, Lakers, Golden State, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Minnesota, all part of this deal. Kevin Durant was the big name, and it's fascinating to me the longer that these guys play, that the big guys in the deal are guys in their mid to late 30s sometimes, even older in certain situations, and you think, man, that's where the league is now. 35, 36-year-old guys are the big deal in the trade.
A record, too, for the NBA, right? 17
deal? It's the biggest trade, yeah. Biggest NBA's trade in NBA history.
Record 17 trade.
So they say. Clint Capella also going to the Rockets in that. So I think they picked up a couple of veterans who can really help them. And so that'll be good for them. Suns are involved. They're getting Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks. Lakers are getting a guy. Golden State getting a couple of guys. Minnesota getting 2 second-round picks and cash and a guy. Atlanta getting a guy. Brooklyn getting a couple of seconds. It's fascinating to me how these things get put together. And that's good. That's done. Let's turn that in. League's going to have to take a week and a half to figure it all out. So that's a good thing. Cavaliers have made some moves this offseason so far. I like the moves. I'll say I like what they've done so far.
So far, so good. Are they a better team than they were 2 weeks ago? I don't know if they're that much better. If Ball's healthy, though, that seems to be an upgrade.
Well, there it is again.
If he's healthy.
I wish you would quit saying that, except for one thing.
It's truthful.
That's exactly right. It's the exact right thing to say. If Lonzo Ball is able to play more than 35 games that he's played in the last 3 years, Cavs made a pretty sweet move. And they traded Isaac Okoro for Lonzo Ball. They've also re-signed Sam Merrill instead of Ty Jerome. So apparently, they felt that Ty Jerome was more replaceable than Sam Merrill. Different skill sets. Yeah. Sam a shooter, and Ty maybe more of a scorer, and not as good at handling the ball as Lonzo Ball, if he's healthy. And then signing Larry Nance Jr. to a vet minimum contract is a no-brainer. I mean, Larry will be coming off the bench for the team, and he'll give them a veteran presence. Somewhat big man off the bench. He plays bigger than he is. He's like 6'7", maybe 6'8", but he plays bigger than that, so that's a good thing. Lonzo Ball was on the What an Experience podcast on the 4th of July, and he talked about becoming a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We have three different comments from him. We'll start with this, and it's what he's looking forward to here in Cleveland.
Just playing, competing for a ring. I mean, I feel like that should be the goal. I feel like that is the goal. So happy to get over there and get started. You know, meet everybody, get familiar with everything, and take it as far as we can.
Okay. Like that?
I think he's optimistic about this. I would be. I mean, again, it goes back to that big H word, health.
Yes, it does. I'm going from the Chicago Bulls, who most folks don't have on the radar as a contender in the Eastern Conference, to the Cavaliers, who most folks think are the number one contender in the Eastern Conference. Here's Lonzo on that.
I feel like it's just a blessing, bro, to be honest. I mean, everybody keep asking me how I feel about the trade, how you feel about the trade. I'm like, I'm happy to still be playing anywhere, let alone a team that has a real chance to, you know, win a ring.
Who's he sound like? He sounds like somebody.
A mellow version of his father?
I don't know. We'll think about that.
Yeah.
And then finally, just thoughts on coming to Cleveland and being a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Here's Lonzo Ball.
My whole life I've been, you know, playing, I feel like, the right brand of basketball, and that's to win games. So going to a great situation, and I just want to play my role and do what I can to help.
Okay.
He does sound like somebody. I can't.
Yeah.
Can you put your finger out? I can't. Yeah.
Almost sounds like LeBron to me.
A little. That was the first name I thought of, but I wasn't going to say it. So.
Yeah, a little bit. So that's all well and good. I wish we could get all excited about it. If it was Lonzo Ball coming out of UCLA and going to the Lakers and before the major knee reconstruction, you know, he had things transplanted. I'm guessing he didn't get those from a live person, so he got those from, you know, somebody who's no longer with us.
Yeah.
Donated to an NBA player.
That's why we talk about Life Bank all the time.
Well, yeah. Dude missed two seasons and then played only 35 games last year. The only thing that's wrong with this, Andy, to me, is this. If the Cavs are banking on Lonzo Ball being healthy, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. If they think Jalen Tyson can do the same types of things, can handle the ball, can initiate the offense about the same height, if they think that he can orchestrate the offense, if Lonzo's not there, okay, then I think they're covered. But if you're banking on Lonzo Ball being your basically third guard, I think that's a big gamble.
Are you hoping that he starts, though, with Darius hurt?
Yes, actually, I am.
You're hoping that he starts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Darius comes back, obviously Darius starts, if he's still here, and I would assume he will be. But I would assume you're going to start Lonzo Ball.
I don't know. Who else would you start?
Terry Porter? Terry Pluto's written some really good stuff, some great analysis on all this. And the word that he has been getting from folks in sources with the Cavaliers about Craig Porter and work ethic and working harder at things, which I found a little surprising.
I mean, I could have said Proctor, but I just think it's too early to say that. But
yeah, you can't put that heat on a second-round pick.
No.
If you get lucky there, you get lucky there. That would be really good.
Yeah, you're hoping that he can come off the bench and be in the top 8, 9 in the rotation?
I would think if he's in the rotation, you'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Tyson was, keep this in mind, Jalen Tyson was a first-round pick last year and was not in the rotation.
Good point. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're right. So what did Terry say? You were kind of talking about that?
Yeah, the Craig Porter Jr., the Cavs really wanted to work on conditioning and work ethic. And I thought, wow, really? that's rough. I mean, that's not what you're looking for out of your young guy, is it?
No, but I don't know. Was the entire team in condition when they hit Indiana? I don't think they knew what was coming when they hit that. When that full court press hit them, I don't know that we're ready, and there were a lot of times where I felt like they ran out of gas in that Indiana series.
Well, Indiana was sure in shape.
Yeah, they were ready for it. They were. Now, is that an entire team thing, or is that just Craig Porter Jr.?
It's kind of a shame what happened to the Pacers. You know, Halliburton getting hurt, and then Miles Turner taking off, going to Milwaukee. Can't blame him.
Oh, you're talking about the big picture. I thought you were just talking about the NBA Finals.
No, I'm big picture. I mean,
I still wonder, does Indiana win that game if Halliburton's healthy for the whole game? I don't know. It's a close game.
Yeah,
but I'm really bummed I didn't get to see it.
I know.
Yeah, none of us did. I feel like we got cheated.
I know.
I mean, we invested time into two cities we probably really don't care about. And I was all in.
Really nice.
I was all in. By the way, speaking of Indiana really quick, did you see what the Sparks said? So apparently a two-point game yesterday, the WNBA. Indiana and LA, right? And LA goes to social media last night. And they were like, teams with a beef against Indiana, Detroit, Cleveland, and LA. I'm kind of an LA Sparks fan now, but back to the Cavaliers. Sorry. It wasn't. It was an Indiana line.
Indiana made a trade. They picked up a guy.
Fill it up, man.
I like it. We've already got rivals before they even take the floor.
Isn't that great? Indiana picked up another center, and if they can get lucky, they picked up a center, a guy named Jay Huff from the Grizzlies, who, before you say, who's Jay Huff, we beat you to it.
I know Brendan Huff counts for something.
No, Michael Huff used to play for the Indians.
I was a big fan.
Remember Huff. Michael Huff?
Oh, yeah, Huff Bakery. Man, they had the best chocolate chip cookies, and then they made this, like, this white coconut cake that was so good. Oh, okay. Man.
Different spelling on Huff.
Oh, does it really matter?
I think it does.
You don't have to be in a Huff about this.
You give me the nod for a rim shot after that.
Even
Les LeVine would be like, eh, I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, so who's starting next year, Jeff? So if Garland's hurt, it's Ball, Mitchell, Mobley, Allen, Strus? Yeah.
Nope. Hunter.
Or Hunter. Hunter over Strus.
Yeah. I think the team needs to start DeAndre Hunter next year. And I think Max Strus becomes your super sub. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can play two, and he can play small forward for you. And I'm going to turn Max Strus into like instant energy off the bench. And I'm going to make sure DeAndre Hunter starts, and I'm going to make sure he gets shots.
Nance is in the rotation, right?
Oh, without question.
Okay, but he's sitting probably 8-9, don't you think? Merrill will be ahead of him, probably. Strus will be ahead of him, so that's two.
You know why?
Why?
Name me any other big guy on this team not named Jared Allen or Evan Mobley.
Yeah, so he'd have to come in for either one of those two guys.
There you go.
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
All right, let's
He has it. To play. And what he will doing? Play. He'll play a lot.
Kevin Love do anything for you guys?
Nope.
If, let's say, he gets bought out from Utah, that do anything?
I mean, the reunion tour could happen, right? If Tristan's not here, why not bring Kevin back? So we can do another awkward interview with his wife. It'll be great.
You know, like we said, you're like a daughter to the city of Cleveland.
Oh!
But, you know.
Thanks, Andy.
Man, I forgot about how awkward her laugh was on the back. You're like, daughter to the.
I think it's worth playing again.
She's like, I'm from Canada, man. I'm good. I'm good.
You know, like we said, you're like a daughter to the city of Cleveland right now, to Jeff and I, because we're two old guys. So, but, you know.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Can we erase that, please?
Nope.
Oh, man.
I honestly.
No, I had to dig to find it. I was really proud when I found it. I thought we deleted it.
I should have followed that up with, you guys playing cards? You guys playing cards? All right. So you're saying if we were in Czechoslovakia, I would get the top bunk.
All right, okay, initial reaction. I immediately said no to Kevin.
Going to Wisconsin.
If Kevin were okay with signing a vet minimum.
Yeah.
And my guess is he would be.
Come home, Kevin.
I'd be okay with that. You know why?
Is he better than Tristan? What'd Tristan give us last year?
Kevin could give you some center minutes.
He could hit a three every once in a while.
And he can step out. You can be sure he'll be able to shoot threes when he's 50.
Yeah.
So you could do worse than put Kevin Love at the end of your rotation at this point in his career. He's 36. He didn't play much last year. His dad was sick. His dad passed away recently.
Yeah, especially the end of the year there.
Yeah.
No fun.
And he didn't play much. But see, here's what I wonder. And he was away from the Heat for personal reasons for a portion of the year, and I'm sure it was his dad. If you have Lonzo Ball, who played in only 35 games last year, and if you brought in Kevin Love, who played in only 23 games last year.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Is that a little too much of keeping your fingers crossed that you can squeeze something out of a couple of former UCLA Bruins? Because that's not the way you build a championship bench. By keeping your fingers crossed, is it?
No. At least I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Keep that in mind, though. Kevin going to Utah in a trade today. Chances are he'll be bought out. Then he'll be looking for a team. So stay tuned. We will see, won't we? Could go to the Lakers and play with LeBron. Already knows Los Angeles from going to school there.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.